Forager Health Podcast, clearing the path to true vitality. I invite you to rise with us. Let us sow the seeds of compassion in our relationships, with ourselves, with each other, and with the land. Let us take our creation, our lived experience, beyond where it's been before. Let us ask ourselves what would happen if we were to open our hearts even more. And may we be guided toward our overall highest outcomes by joining together on this day. Hello and welcome to another episode of Forager Health Podcast. On this week's show, we are talking about achieving non-reactive neutrality as a healer, but more importantly, as a human, because this is a skill that is uniquely human and incredibly important to be aware of if you have any interest at all whatsoever in improving the nature of your relationships and just your daily interactions with other human beings, whether they be in your distant social network or circles, such as coworkers and people that you might bump into on social media, or if they are the most important people in your lives or people that you are intimately engaged with. And having said that, just a quick note before we get the ball rolling, I want to remind you all that it is important that if you are gaining value or benefit or energy or positivity in your life in any way through listening to Forager Health Podcast, this wonderful show that we work so hard here on every single week in order to bring you potency and presence and a deeper sense of feeling and meaning through the nature of our content and through the nature of these conversations, then don't forget to show us that we have made some sort of impact for you by leaving us a review and a rating on iTunes or by leaving us a rating on Spotify. That is the number one way that you can show us some love and help us spread the show to more people. And if you do that, I'll be sure to give you a shout out on an upcoming episode, thanking you personally for the extra few moments that you took in order to show your support. And if you yourself need further support, you can always reach out to us through any mediums that you can find us on. I'm most active on Instagram, obviously, but you can also head over to ForagerHealth.com and check out what we have going on over there. Enough of that. On non-reactive neutrality, what is non-reactive neutrality? This is space holding. This is our ability to act as a safe and trustworthy container and observer that can hold space from one human to another that is safe and trustworthy and knowing and wise and kind and thoughtful and make that time spent with another human constructive and change what would be maybe even an argument with a loved one or just random water cooler gossip at the office or bumping into a random stranger on the bus, commenting on somebody's post on social media. Take all of these everyday situations for any one of us and turn them into moments of healing, constructive moments of release and of honesty and of truth and of wisdom. Taking somebody from that fear state of scarcity, of ego dominance, of reactivity, and holding them so fully that they feel safe to let go of the energetic charge that is currently running them up a wall, or perhaps that is just making them feel lesser than who or what they really are. So in order to achieve this non-reactive neutral state as an observer for another human being in real life, we need the feeling of total unison with our vessels, with our biology, with our physical bodies. The result, energetically, what happens neurologically, egotistically, mythopoetically, is this is a state where we are able to hold our ego in our arms and decide what parts of us are right to express in the present moment, and what parts of us might actually do harm if we pull them out of our psyche and display them in the wrong moment. You know, what qualities you have access to that would bring opening and healing and love and grace and understanding and respect and compassion, and which ones would shut you out from the possibility of growth or of space holding in that moment. And this all comes down, we're going to circle back to trust and safety a lot in this episode. And so what we say in these situations where we're faced with an opportunity to hold space for somebody as a neutral observer is critical. And for that, what comes out of our mouths in response to another that is in need of some sort of safety and trust that they are looking for in order to express themselves as fully human in that moment and get something off their chest or off their shoulders, what we say needs to be appropriate. It needs to be timed properly. It needs to be thoughtful and constructive. It needs to be kind. And it needs to be necessary. And being able to truly be there for someone who actually needs you, that skill is priceless. But firstly, for this to come, we need to understand that life is not always about us. So if we are still in a state of ego adolescence and we haven't done enough work in order to have our self-identity and our highest self and our soul and our spirit and our heart, mind-body connection, the whole entire system of systems that is us working with each other and as one in full connection, if we have not done enough work in order to make that happen yet, then this might not be achievable for you yet, and you might just not have had enough experience in life chasing the right influences in order to show you that this is actually possible, what I'm talking about here today. It doesn't mean that you are lesser than someone who can hold this level of space at this level of integrity. Part of the reason why I'm recording this today is because it's only in the past like 6 months or so that I could really say that I have seen examples in my own life of other people who have raised the bar for me personally as far as what this possibly looks like and what full safety and full trust can even mean. So every point in the journey of personal actualization is just as critical and beautiful a moment as the next and as the last. And just being aware of what I am trying to bring into your lives today, it can spur you all on its own into a higher level of understanding of what it is possible to achieve. So just because you are at a place where behind everything, you're still trying to do things not out of devotion to something other than, but a devotion to your own journey. It doesn't mean that you are far away from being able to sit in front of another human being and hold space for them. It just means that maybe you don't even know before hearing this that you can reach a visceral, felt level of understanding that life is not about us. And of course it is, right? Because Samatvam, you know, we all have equality in the value of our experience. But that also means that everyone else's experience is just as important as yours. And so by working for your own experience to achieve its full capacity in this lifetime, you are also ecocentrically focused on ensuring that everyone that you come in contact with in your sphere of influence, including the landscape and all of the creatures on it that are within your local ecosystem, all of them, you're focused on all of them achieving their highest state of self-actualization as well. And your purpose or your sole purpose or your mission or your full expression of what unique gifts you have in store for the world in this life, in the end, will help other people much more than they would help you. In the end, carving out our story from this flow of time ends up having nothing to do with our personal motives, because the motive itself is not even ours in the end. So if you don't understand that yet, you can go back and listen to some of our previous solo episodes for more in-depth looks at ego disillusion and journey to soul. This skill is for those already beyond the stage of ego adolescence, which doesn't mean that you are an adolescent or a little punk teenager, even though you might be 40 years old, like on the inside. It means that you have a premature self-identity. It means that you don't have the confidence yet to understand what you are for. And if you don't understand what you are for, then you also don't understand yet who you are, because the two are very intimately intertwined. So it is for those few of us that have fought enough to escape really the hell of scarcity, of trauma-dominant life patterns, of cycles of coping mechanisms and things falling apart. You know, those who have braved the waters of the inner realms of the mind and have come out the other side somehow more whole than before we end up facing the untold numbers of roots of our darkest aspects of self. The samskaras, those multi-lifetime, transgenerational, deep wounds. Those of us who have done battle with those deepest wounds and survived, and not only survived, but have discovered the light and the freedom that comes when we embrace the mythopoetic lesson and reason each of us has those pains in the first place, and the reasons that are held within the pain before we work through the pain and thank it for what it has in store for us. So this is for really those who have suffered and thrived as a result of that suffering. Now, does that mean that this episode is too much for you if you still feel a lacking of integrity or identity or self-efficacy, or if you are still searching for actions aligned with your purpose that would sustain your existence in the world? Like, if you are still searching for, like I am personally, actions that would bring you the physical monetary income that would allow you to act in alignment with your purpose 24/7 and still be sustainable as your core focus in life. It doesn't mean that it's too much for you, because I'm also speaking this into existence today, once again, so that you all know that this is freaking possible, that, you know, once again, this conversation is being held in hopes of empowering you by raising the bar of your standards when it comes to human relations. And it's created because the bar has been raised for me. Not too long ago, there was a time when I didn't know what it was like to actually be held accountable in full integrity and be held fully when I personally fall apart and need someone to be there to hold space for me. I have had many different levels and types of space holding for me over the years, in the last 5 or 6 years or so, in the main bulk of my personal, spiritual, and psychological evolution. But the bar continues to be raised, and I'm finally ready to talk about what it means to actually feel fully held and what it is to fully hold someone. So I imagine at this point, this could also be kind of triggering, because I just basically told you that chances are no one in your life has ever truly been there for you. They haven't really been there 100% when you have needed them, and that they don't even have the capacity to be there for you. I'm telling you that you might not know anyone that has the capacity to be there for you fully when you need them, and that no one has ever shown them that it's even possible, and that you don't know what it feels like yet, most likely. You need to know that that's okay, because it's not our fault that we have to freaking search so damn hard in order for this to be redefined for us in our own lives. But if we were taught to fully engage in the holding of space for one another, then that's contagious, because it can fully, completely transform your life in a very short period of time. And if you don't believe me that nobody's ever held space for you before, then consider this. If we were taught to fully engage in holding space for one another, and if we've even had the experience of being fully cared for when we need it most, you know, those moments where we need help so much that in fact we actually seek out help, which is a rarity nowadays even still, then, you know, if that's true, like if what I'm saying is false and it is true that you've been fully held, then why are so many of us more numb than we are intimate in our relationships? Like, why do we hold back so much? Why are we keeping so much from each other? Why is it innate in our sociological and cultural programming to hold back information and feelings from one another? You know, why is it so triggering to say, I love you to friends and family? Why is that so triggering? I've done tons and tons of work, and it's still difficult for me, as desperately as I want to say, I love you to every single one of my friends, even my acquaintances that I've just met. I love you. Why is it so hard? If it's hard for me, that it's definitely hard for you. It must be like a full body activation of closure when you try to say, I love you to somebody that you care about. Maybe it's your best friend you've known your whole life, and you still don't say, hey, sister, hey, brother, I love you. You know, thank you for today. This has been wonderful. I love you so much. I'm excited to see you again soon. Why do coworkers suffer silently next to each other, each in their own private bubble, their own respective little sphere of sociological and psychological torment, you know, instead of creating community through the kind of support that would come naturally and freely and readily if we were to just open up to one another every day? You know, why must we seek professional help with our troubles, and then even then in the professional setting, only be treated like animals of lower intellectual and emotional viability by the very persons who are holding the titles that are supposed to symbolize hope when we are in need? And that goes for psychological help as well. Like, I'm sorry, but unless you go alternative routes, or if your psychologist or therapist has had extraordinary stories of his own personal evolution outside of his professional indoctrination and education, him or herself, then you're going to find the same cold, lifeless, standardized, step-by-step, never-ending, non-healing bullshit that you find in any other professional healthcare setting. And then moving on, let's rub a little more salt in this wound for a minute. Why are most of us wasting decades of life living in a perpetual state of sexual shame and restraint when our loved ones are right there every single day, sitting across the dinner table from you, sitting on the couch next to you, going to sleep next to you every single night, holding in their own desires that are no doubt as painful to them as yours are to you? You know, why do you think relationships fail nowadays? The modern model is not what relationships actually are supposed to be. And you don't need me to tell you that. There's tons of information and resources out there as far as how the family unit and how the community unit and the society unit used to work before all of this separation and disintegration occurred in our modern society that isn't really even a society anymore. It's more like an economy, and we're the fuel for it, while community has been stripped away from that. And you need community as one of those legs to that stool in order for it to be a society. And I feel like we don't have that anymore. And that's why I am one of many people fighting to bring it back into the forefront of our focus. Having said all that, let's just make it really simple. Why aren't we treating each other like humans? It's because we do not know what it feels like to open up. It's never been safe to. We don't think we know anyone who can make us feel safe enough to be open. So we bear the burden on our shoulders. The stress gets downloaded over the decades, and our bodies deteriorate, and our energy levels and our energy systems deteriorate into varying levels of dis-ease and disintegration and interference that then the industrial medical model gets to label with all kinds of fancy words for their separatist thinking of what a certain disorder is versus another, when they are really all start with the same giant ass stress bucket. And holding on to something in your heart or in your mind that causes you to be a little bit less of yourself, a tiny bit less of yourself every day. We accumulate these little tiny grains of sand where we don't feel safe to let them out and express them and then integrate them and shake off the stress of holding on to them. Those little grains of sand every day are all it takes for that stress bucket to get full. And we don't know what it feels like to be able to let them out. We've never been given permission. Before moving on, I think that it's great if we were all to just take in a collective deep breath at this point of the episode. Big deep breath in all the way down into the belly, into the pelvic bowl, and up to the shoulder girdle with me. And sigh it out. Clearing that energy, that angst of the truth of the matter before moving into what it does feel like to be held in someone's presence. What does it feel like to be fully and unequivocally supported, no matter what you need to say or what you need to hear? I'm going to try to explain what it should feel like. It feels safe. It feels like you can even fall completely apart and not be afraid to fall apart, because you know you will not be judged. We're afraid to fall apart not because we don't know if we'll ever be able to put ourselves back together, but because we're afraid of what people will think if we actually let go. And so when you're fully held, you feel safe to fall apart because you know you won't be judged. No matter how much of a mess you really need to pour out in that moment, no matter how ugly or how loud it gets, no matter how helpless you feel or what you are holding on to makes you feel, trust will remain in that container. And that person will not abandon you. And when you are fully held, the person holding you will not shy away, and they will not be fear-stricken by what you let go of. That's critically important. The person holding space for you will not budge, will not take on the charge of your energy, of your release. So whatever you need to vomit out into the world before it tears you to pieces, you can, and you can trust that that person will just be there, compassionately observing, knowing what they are witnessing is both A, beautiful, and B, necessary for you to find peace and self-acceptance and return to love at your center in your life, and that they need to remain steady and objective for the space to be set for you to do your work. That's what they're doing. And that's what it feels like to have somebody hold that space for you. And then what it feels like to hold space for somebody that needs to let go of things that they should not have to bear the burden of. Bear with me here until I explain why it feels this way. But it feels blissful. Holding space for somebody, no matter how much turmoil they are in, should feel like hope. It feels like pure connection and clarity and presence. It feels like a reminder of all that is good and holy and real and unadulterated in this world. Why does it feel like that? It feels like that because it has to. For us to hold space for another from a selfless place of compassion, non-reactive neutrality, right? We need to actually feel ourselves transported to a higher place of service where we are not only ourselves, or our present selves, I should say. To serve more than just our own motives, which remember, don't belong to us anyway, we need to be larger than what we are as a present individual. Our connection to the highest self needs to be active. Our full energetic capacity needs to be online and under our control through connection. And by way of our openness to the wisdom that our entire being holds for us, we have access to wisdom beyond ourselves as well. Wisdom that when we are disconnected, when we feel alone, when we feel singular, when we feel separate from, we cannot attain. And when this level of presence and connection is felt, that's when we cannot be shaken no matter what is going on in front of us. Because there is no end to our grounding. There is no fault in our foundation when we are connected not to our foundation, but to the foundation of all through our foundations. Because where our roots end, when we are fully connected in presence with our highest selves, the roots of all else begins. So coming back to earth here, grounding this point in the conversation, we can feel bliss and hope and grace almost as if we are having our own out-of-body experience while being keeper and holder for someone in need, because in order to be fully present in a state of non-reactive neutrality, we need to feel full connection within ourselves and be able to tap into that feeling at will. And so it's not a knowing, it's not intellectual, it is feeling of being a clear vessel in service with solid boundaries to be able to observe without having to react. And only from this place of free choice as a neutral observer can we hold space for another to the extent that full trust and safety is achieved. In this act, you should not feel the stress or pain of another enter your body. You should feel the projection of their expression and then be able to very easily withhold from getting caught up in that expression of their energy. Unlike when, say, you and your partner have an argument and your body feels like it's lit up with electricity that is literally hurting you in response to their body and vice versa. This is not that. This you may have never experienced before. This is where you know the nature of their energy. It can be felt, but it does not reach you. Your body is unaffected. If it is in your body, you are taking on and mirroring their stress, their grief, their anger, their sorrow, whatever. If you feel that, then you are not holding space for them. It means you have leakages in your boundaries, you have blockages in your energy field, you have not undergone the activations or the levels of training required, or simply the levels of practice required in order to be able to have somebody completely lose it in front of you, or maybe just very subtly need to express something to you and remain neutral for that person in order for them to feel safe to fully get out what they need to get out, in order for them to feel fully seen. So this is why it's such an advanced practice and a rare skill in present day, because I've just told you that every reaction you've ever had to someone else's energy, be it negative or positive, where you then feel as if you take on the expression of their energy, no matter how susceptible or sensitive a person you may be listening to this, and I promise you, I am among the highest of sensitive individuals. I've suffered from the taking on of other people's energy most of my life, and still do to this day, but now at least a lot of the time I'm able to tap into more of what I'm talking about today, and I'm able to be there for people instead of having to practically remove myself from people or suffer as my only two options. When faced with that scenario, when you run into negative energy, and in my earlier years, not knowing that there's any way to deal with that other than be affected by it. So I am telling you that we can control our biology beyond these basic human survival mechanisms that have gotten our species to where it is. And why is our taking on of other people's energy a survival mechanism? Well, when someone close to us tends to tense up and is stressed, and we feel that stress, we feel each other's pain or alarm, or maybe even uncertainty or wariness. That's by design, because in the times of hunter-gatherers, that keeps us alive. There are no sociological or socioeconomic or psychological or cultural stressors in those tribal units. When somebody is stressed, it's because something feels wrong and danger, real actual physical danger, might be on its way. On the other hand, though, we've always also had wise ones in the tribe, and later even in, say, city-states or even total empires, who had learned to transcend those basic survival triggers stay in wisdom mind, stay in the forebrain, stay activated to their intuition through the pineal gland and connection to source and to higher states of wisdom through the crown in the face of a crowd where the energy has gone awry and is totally risen in fear from the rear brain, the reptile brain, in fight or flight, in conflict, in turmoil, in not understanding longer time horizon of just like, oh, right here and now is doom and gloom. So there's always been people that have been able to allow for and create a container within which the release of that energy in a constructive manner was possible. And so there's examples throughout time of the shaman or the witch doctor or the medicine man or the scientist or the philosopher or the artist even, where, you know, just the elder, the wise one, the people you go to for help historically have always had the skill where they have been able to hold their ground and not feel what other people are feeling for the greatest good. And they are able to activate that gift, that skill, that cultivated skill for the greatest good when faced with situations that require their highest selves, whereas usually it would be an instant disconnect from our highest selves to react. It's natural to react to somebody else's stress, just as it can be natural to choose not to react to it, and in order to choose to actually help that person instead. Because nowadays, that stress can be from a fake stressor, something that does not belong to us, something that does not pose a risk to our well-being. And so as long as there has been society, there have been people that have been able to make this separation, this distinction, and approach people as a non-reactive, neutral place of healing. And I am also telling you that we can each cultivate the sense of self and of wholeness and of oneness that it takes to be the elder for each other that we all need. I'm telling you that we can all be the exact person that we all used to have access to in our respective villages, whereas presently there are very precious few. And that is changing. That is changing a lot, especially in the past 10 years or so. There's definitely a renaissance going on, but there's still a lot more work to do. It's still too hard to find real help. So how do we learn to do this? I'm going to be honest with you, and this is the hard part here. We're just going to be sticking to space holding right now, and we'll touch a little bit on communication. Which comes after in a minute. I don't know if this skill can be attained without it being experienced. Many listening to this may feel they have it, and then one day, years from now, have someone offer space for them to release what they have on their shoulders on any given random day, and find themselves gifted with being held by that person in ways that, like it has been for me many times, completely redefine for them what it means to be held in the same way that I'm kind of maybe perhaps hoping this conversation does for some of you. Like maybe this is one of your wake-up calls for what it can truly mean to be there for somebody or to have somebody be there for you. But you don't really have the goal or the target for how well you want to be able to do this for others until you've had somebody hold you in this way. But on the other hand, it does start with faith that no matter what someone comes to you with, especially if they come with complaints or perhaps objections against you personally, that you can 100% find the power within yourself to maintain the presence and the wherewithal to interact and proceed through this sort of journey of that conversation while allowing for the greatest potential outcome to unfold. So by simply focusing on stepping back and allowing and holding that intention in your mind while this person is bringing to you whatever objection they hold or whatever they need to let go of, that you want the result of the conversation to be the best it can be, that's a great step forward. And no matter how much energy or how loud or how jarring or maybe how egotistically triggering or damaging the words and actions you observe are, holding in your intention that you believe there is healing taking place, that in the grand scheme of things, absolutely supersedes any of your subjective motives, anything that you want out of this conversation or from this person, any goals that you have for this interaction or for your relationship at large. Believing that there's healing taking place that absolutely supersedes any opinions or reactions you would have in a lesser moment, that gets you half the way there. And feeling that belief and leaning into that feeling, leaning into the feeling that you want this to be a healing conversation and you do not care, you will take any hit in order to remain neutral no matter what punches are thrown or what nasty, gross slop ends up on the floor energetically out in front of you that's pouring out of this individual, holding on to the feeling that healing is taking place over any other feeling that the conversation may provoke, that gets you 75% of the way there. And here's how you get the full 100. By the nature of your reactions when it is time to do something other than be the non-reactive, neutral observer. So when they cry, it's time for you, maybe, if they're standing up, to fully embrace them. I don't care who they are. I don't care if it's somebody from work that you sit across the room for and you barely ever give them a nod. Embrace them and whisper in their ear, it's okay to feel that. Like, I understand. It's okay to cry. Let it out. If they're on a chair, if they're sitting down, when they cry, it's time for you to get on your frickin' knees and lay a hand on theirs and encourage their tears. And just be there. And when they yell, it's time for you to hold your hands over your heart and smile slightly and gently nod your head in understanding. And maybe when they curse and wave their arms around and panic and put on the biggest show that they can in all manner they can manage, maybe you're a blank slate, there for them, but otherwise just listening, being attentive, waiting for your time to encourage clarity, to encourage investigation into why they feel this way, to encourage accountability and recognition and ownership of their part in how they feel that way, because we always own 100% of our part of why we're holding on to these emotions. And then waiting for your time to encourage integration and release. And that's what space holding looks like. Space holding is a constant permission slip. It's a mirror and a container of safety for people. It's permission to be and do and say and feel and express all that you need to leave a human encounter with less garbage, more knowing, more feeling. Here's the biggest one, more personal ownership of the parts we play in our relations. And hopefully, as a result of that, we leave with an example that has just been given to us. When somebody holds space for you, they are giving you a tremendous gift. They are showing you an example of unbridled compassion. And hopefully from there, you leave also with a little bit more of an open heart. And by having been held by that, you know that that's possible for you to do that for other people. That's how you go the full 100%. That's what space holding looks like. And that's what is sometimes necessary for us to finally move on and step out into the rest of our lives feeling a little lighter. And as a last note, because I feel like this topic, this conversation, this talk that I've given today is full enough just as it is without giving too many specific examples, because it's important for you to fill in the blanks yourself, we still need to talk about what happens when it is time to speak. Space holding can be breached if we're not careful when we open our mouths. Talking in response to somebody who is there trusting you to simply be there for them while they talk, it takes extra training and understanding of what constitutes a flowing theme towards resolution and when potential action steps are necessary and when talking about integration is appropriate and what might, when not appropriate or timely, break the container of safety and trust. So there is a continuity to these types of situations, whether you are a venerated healer or not. And I think all humans are healers because we need to be the biggest healer for our respective loved ones that they'll ever have in their lives aside from themselves. So we all have this job and we need to stay within the bounds of what we can see in the moment based on what we can observe. And we need to stay in alignment with the reasons why they opened up to you in the first place. So this is not a time always for you to give them all of the answers. This might be time for you to ask more questions to help them come to their own answers. But if you don't have the personal skill or wherewithal or communication training to be able to constructively build upon their release toward integration of the lessons that that release has in store for them, then I suggest you ask more questions than you give solutions. And also remember, only say what is timely, thoughtful, constructive, kind, and necessary. And really think about that. And if it can't be resolved, if it's too big for just them getting it off their chest, being what they needed, and you don't have the proper skill set or you aren't the person to them that they need in order to work through that, that's when you give them a hug, thank them for sharing, let them know that you're there for them, and also that your ears and your space and your arms and your body are there whenever they need another hug, whenever they need to be heard again, but that it's not your place or that you don't feel comfortable fully giving answers because you don't know whether or not you're going to be more helpful or hurtful. And in response to that, something like that, they could easily say, oh, I still want to hear what you have to say. Just be careful what you share. You know, it's not for you to always go, oh, look at all of these red flags of self-betrayal that have perpetuated this pattern of circumstances in your life, and this is when you first veered off course of your true self, and that's why your relationship is a mess, or that's why you're so unhappy at your job, or that's why you're having such a struggle with your diet, or that's why your family relations are a mess. Like, we're not all trained professionals. It's not always appropriate or constructive or necessary in the moment, or even kind in the long run for us to try to unweave these things together, because that is when your emotional charge gets interjected into what was supposed to be just holding space, just making that person feel safe. And 95% of the time, I'll say, the emotional release is really all that's needed. And for the grimy, heavier, more complicated stuff, convey understanding and compassion, but don't get into the weeds. That's all I'm going to say. I hope that this helped. I hope that this was worthwhile for me to share this with you today. I hope that you gained insight and value and maybe found some release of your own, some trust in yourself, some trust in others, some feeling that you might be able to provide safe space the next time you find someone close to you needs it. I hope that these topics that I am choosing rather intuitively to interrupt our lineup of episodes where I bring guests on to have conversations with them that are more flowy and more organic and can tend to go in all manner of different directions. I hope that me doing these still has been beneficial to you in some way. And if it has, then please reach out. I'd love to hear your feedback. I'd really love to hear what your opinion is on this topic. You can share your experiences in the past. You can share what this brought up for you. If this just all on its own was a powerful experience and you really feel enlightened and hopeful and happy for having tuned into today's episode, then once again, the way that you can show your love is to leave us a rating or a review or both. The review would be over on iTunes. You can scroll down to the bottom of the page and just type in a few sentences or so and click submit. It's that simple. It takes less than a minute. If you want to just say, hey, great show, thank you, and submit, that helps us find more of an audience. That helps us get our voice out to more people. And it also shows me that I am providing something for somebody where you have felt like it is worthwhile tuning into my show. So thank you for that, if you would do that. And without further ado, until next week, where I believe we're back with another guest on the show, don't forget that you are loved, that you are not alone, that your experience and your unique expression in this world holds infinite and untold amounts of value. And if you need a reminder of that, do not hesitate to reach out. All right. Thanks, everyone. I really appreciate you tuning in. And until next week, Hare Krishna.